Greetings. Don't you love that last song? That's one of my favorite. Okay, if I die anytime soon, and they don't come out with any other songs, I want that as one of my songs. Okay? And then I'll Fly Away. I like that one too. And but the verse that Dave read is going to lead into what we're covering today. I want to mention a few things this morning. First of all, Isaac Cantrell, raise your hand. He got second team All-State last night, and his team won the state championship in water polo. And his hair is still stiff from the chlorine. Go up and let him know you appreciate it. He represented the church well. And I know that it's spiritual accomplishments that we should be most proud of in Isaac, but it's nice when God blesses him in that way as well. And so, and there were some church people there last night, and Andrew was giving me play-by-play. He was there last night as well. He wished that he could have gotten the water with them, but they don't let former college players do that anymore. But also, Tommy Decker and his bride is here this morning. Make sure you corner them. And I want to make a special mention of Kathy. Can you raise your hand if you haven't met Kathy? She's been coming to church now for about 6 weeks or so. Her aunt is in the hospital at Harrisburg Hospital, and she's in very, very bad condition. And her aunt's 42 years of age, and she's in an induced coma right now. And she would appreciate your prayers for her as well. And we went up to see her the other day, and I know that the family would appreciate your prayers as well. And let's go back to the verse that Dave read. The key part is, isn't Ishmael, isn't about the prediction of the Islamic race that would come up. It's the fact that an angel brought that message. That's what the focus of the verse is. See, the doctrine of angels and demons is like a lot of subjects in the Bible. You have to go to a lot of different places to find it. There's no one dissertation on it. And so in these series of topical sermons that we're covering, we're going to be all over the Bible. But once again, what we covered in the first lesson about a hermeneutic, when you're covering a particular topic, what we don't want to do is proof text. Now, Faneuil's brother wrote a book a while back that I read, and he talked about proof texting in there. One of the dangers of proof texting is this, is that it's like shooting an arrow into a wall and then drawing the target around it. And then you say, I hit a bullseye every time. That's not what we want to do. What we want to do is to go through the scriptures and then come to logically based conclusions on what the Bible did say. And we want to keep it in context. And we always want to do it out of love. And so we're going to cover angels this morning. And a lot of times, you know, people get what they learn about angels from Hollywood. And, you know, it's like, well, I have angels when I grow up. You know, you remember that movie, It's a Wonderful Life. Every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings. That's right, Petals or whatever her name was. But, you know, we can't go on what Hollywood says. You know, Hollywood does not preach our gospel. They preach some other weirdo gospel. And if you're from Hollywood watching this morning, it's true. You know it, okay? And the definition of an angel in the Greek, in the Hebrew, it's malak. And in the Greek, it's angelos. And it means messenger or angel. And it's interesting that the word malachi, my messenger, malak, that's the Hebrew for angel. And so that's why it's called my messenger, malachi. I messenger. And it's but I want to cover some things that the Bible does say about angels, and some might not be new to you, some may be new to you, and maybe none of this is new to you. Great, then I suggest that you're probably very well studied, because what we're going to cover is, you know, I think some important things about angels that we should know. I'm just going to ask certain questions and see what the Bible says about that. And hold me to that hermeneutic that we discussed. So question, how long have angels been in existence? How long have angels been in existence? From the scriptures, it appears that the angels existed prior to the creation of the physical universe as we know it. In Job 38, verses 4 through 7, it says, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you understand, who marked off its dimensions, surely you know, who stretched the measuring line across it, on what footings were its footings set, or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and the angels shouted for joy." So they were obviously present prior to that. And God spoke the angels into existence. Nehemiah 4, 9, verse 6, "Thou hast made the heavens and the heaven of heavens with all their host." Psalm 148, verse 5, "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created." Jesus is actually credited for the actual creation. So angels were not always here. You know, Jesus created all of it. excuse me. John 1, 1, 3, Colossians 1, 15 and 16 tells us that. "For by him all things are created." Jesus is the creator. Excuse me. See, that was a good cough. Now I'm ready to go. Just like Christians, angels are part of the family of God. They're your cousins. Okay? Hebrews 12, 22 says, "But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God and to the heavenly Jerusalem and to myriads of angels." They're part of the family of God, just like you're part of the family of God. Revelation 5, 11 and 12, "Then I looked and I heard a voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads, thousands of thousands." You know, we're going to see angels in heaven. They're part of the family of God. They're a different part, but they are definitely part of the family of God. And like us, let's ask another question. Do angels have free will choice to follow God? Have you ever thought about that? See, a lot of times the perception is angels, you know, God says jump and they say how high. But they have choice in the matter. They are free moral agents. Psalm 103, verse 20. Blessed be the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. You can only obey commands. You can't obey a not command. They're not just, you know, God gives a command, they choose to follow it. Jude verse 6 says, "The angels which kept not their own estate, but left their own habitation, they abandoned their proper abode." See, when we cover the devil more in a couple other lessons, we're going to see that the angels chose to follow. There's a certain number of angels followed Satan and exalted himself in pride, lest he be lifted up in the condemnation of the devil. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 4, "God did not spare the angels when they sinned." They sinned. They chose to sin. And so angels, just like you and me, they have a choice whether or not to follow God. And here's another question. Are angels limited in any way? And the answer is yes, many ways. Angels are superhuman in knowledge, but they're not omniscient. If you look at the demonstration of the human, superhuman knowledge, in Luke 1 verse 13, an angel knew that Elizabeth would bring forth a son named John. Now where did she get that? She didn't get that from the National Enquirer. They had superhuman knowledge. In Luke 1 verse 30 and 31, an angel predicted Mary would become impregnated by the Holy Spirit. And yes, she did. In Matthew 2 verse 13, an angel warned Joseph that Herod would attempt to kill their infant son. This was all superhuman knowledge. They could not have known this in the physical realm. But they're not omniscient. They don't see all this. 1 verse 12 of 1 Peter, the angels, it said, that the angels longed to look into it. The angels did not know what the outcome of the gospel was. They longed to look into it. They did not know that information. We also know, according to Matthew 24, verse 36, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven. They don't know everything. Angels have questions as well. And then angels have superhuman power, but they're not omnipotent. A demonstration of superhuman power in Genesis 19, verse 11. Two angels struck blind the dwellers of Sodom and Gomorrah. In 2 Kings 19:35, an angel killed 185,000 Assyrian troops. In Daniel 6:22, an angel shut the lion's mouth. In Matthew 28, verse 2, an angel caused an earthquake that occurred during the crucifixion of Jesus. In Acts chapter 12, verse 23, an angel struck King Herod with a deadly condition. All these are demonstrating superhuman power, yet they're not omnipotent. In 2 Samuel 24, verse 16, the angel of destruction had to stop because God said so. God's the one who gives them their power. Therefore, they're not omnipotent. Angels are superhuman in swiftness, but they're not omnipresent. Their swiftness, Daniel 9, 20 and 21, the angel Gabriel immediately came to a praying Daniel. Yet, they're not omnipresent. In Luke 1:26, the angel Gabriel had to be sent by God. So they can't be everywhere they want to be at all times like God is. And this is why angels are not to be worshipped by God. There's actually angel cult worshipers today. You know, there's a group called IPM in near Osceola, Iowa. It's right by a friend's place. One of our worshipers, he might be watching. Lanny, if you're watching, you know exactly what I'm talking about. They're put right up next to his farm property. They worship angels. It's called the Inner Peace Movement. And Colossians, they worshiped angels. You know, and there seems to be an angel worship following today. People, you know, put angels in their home, put them on their trees, you know, and they absolutely love angels, but they know nothing about God. In Colossians 2, verse 18 and 19, let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting of self-abasement and the worship of angels. In Revelation 19:10 and Revelation 22, verse 8 and 9, twice John tried to bow down. And this probably, it's likely why this is even mentioned in Revelation, because the books, the churches where this is written to, there was a large angel worship cult that was building. And twice John bowed down to an angel, and the angel said, "Whoa, I'll have none of that. You don't bow down to me. You bow down to God." And so that's why they're not worshipped. God is omnipresent, omnipotent, omnibenevolent. You put omni, God is there. Okay? No one else. And Christ is at the right hand. He has the power of that omnibenevolent relationship. So, it leads to another question. Can angels appear whenever they want to? Well, the answer is no. Only with the permission of God. Period. See, in Numbers 22, verse 31, it said, the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and then he saw that angel. He thought his donkey was out of alignment or something and had to go to NTB, but that wasn't the case. The donkey could see the angel, but Balaam couldn't. In 2 Kings 6:17, the Lord opened the servant's eyes. See, God allowed their eyes to see the angels. And they could take on different forms. A burning bush of Exodus 3:12. Disease in 2 Samuel 24, 15 through 17. They could take on human form like they did in Genesis 18, 1 and 2. And Genesis 19, verse 1, where Abraham actually thought he was looking at human beings. Even Jacob, who wrestled a man. And he said, wrestled with God and won. Later on in Hosea 12, verse 4, we find out that it was an angel. And so angels could take on many forms. Satan himself can disguise himself as an angel of light. In Mark 16:5 and Acts 1:10, they were appeared as glowing white men. It kind of freaked me out if I saw a glowing white man, but the fact is they looked in human form. And so the angels, they could present themselves before men as many different things, but only through the revelation, the revealing of the opening of man's eyes by God. Which leads to another question. Do angels manifest themselves to us today? Do angels manifest themselves to us today? Now, some say that a handful of verses from the Bible indicate that we see angels today. And I've met people who said, I saw a guy and I know he was an angel. Well, then let's use those same verses and see if that's what it's saying. Let's use, for example, Hebrews 13, verse 2. Hebrews 13, 2 says, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it." Now, when you read that verse on the surface, you say, and that's the one I hear quoted when people say, you know, I'm pretty sure I met an angel. He changed my tire on my car or something like that. And you might have had somebody say that to you. And then they'll say, well, the Bible says right here, and it does say right here. But if this was teaching that angels appear to us today, then three difficulties arise. Number one, this verse deals with hospitality, not a dissertation on angels. So anything we learn about angels here would be a secondary point. Number two, it says that some have, not some will. And the third thing is, and this is very important, and we have cases where Abraham, he saw an angel, entertained an angel, Lot did in Genesis 19. But it also, number three, it clearly states without knowing it. Without knowing it. To use this verse and say, well, I know I saw it, because I'm going to quote a verse that says I wouldn't know it, is the exact opposite of what they're trying to say. We wouldn't know it. So if somebody quotes this verse and says, well, I know I saw an angel, then look at it and say, well, it says without knowing it. So that can't really apply to what you're saying. They have to go somewhere else then to try and find it. Another verse that is picked out, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 10. Therefore, the women ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of angels. And I've heard that one quoted before. This is in the context of worship of the assembled saints and not a manifestation to the human eyes. We know that there's a spiritual realm all around us. Ephesians 6 verse 12 tells us about that. If we were able to peel back the physical world, I think we'd be in shock at what's going on around us. It should terrify us and it should also bless us as well. It depends upon if we're following God or not. And so since angels are spiritual beings, it's not unreasonable for us to assume that they're around us. They're right here. You know, I can tell you right now, if we're doing what God says we should be doing, we don't have an empty pew here. There's plenty of spiritual beings that are probably in attendance with us today, including Jesus Christ, God Himself and the Holy Spirit, if we're worshiping God in spirit and in truth. So no empty seats in any congregation in the world that follows what the Bible says. You just got it. You know, physically, yes, but never spiritually. But then there's Galatians 1 verse 8 through 10. Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Though we or an angel... Now, if we say, well, there must have been angels preaching different gospels at that time. That was a statement that Paul was using to communicate. Even if an angel came down and said, here's a brand new gospel, don't believe it because it has to come from God. No, what angel is preaching the false gospel other than the fallen angel of Satan? Paul's writing for the consistency of the gospel, not writing about angels. Second, it was all hypothetical. If there were an angel from heaven, see, an angel from heaven would not come down and preach a different gospel because that would be of God. Even in the unlikely case that would happen, don't believe the gospel that comes from the mouth of that being. And so the answer to the question is, do people see angels today? I can't say no. The best answer I can give is if they did, they would not know it. They wouldn't know it. So don't spend time in endless fables and meaningless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying which is in faith, so do. We'll find out at the end of time all those things which were secret to us, and they'll be revealed later. If God wanted us to know, He would have put more in the Scripture about that. So don't waste time going out and trying to find an angel. Okay? Take the words and advice of John. Don't go chasing angels. They're your cousins. We're not into that. Okay? Question. Why did the angels appear before man in the Bible? Why did they do this? This further builds on what we're saying. The answer is, angels of God didn't appear to man just to go shoot a game of pool or have a meal or something. They came for one of three reasons. They either came because they wanted to bring a message. They had to bring a message from God. Or number two, bring a judgment from God, either good or bad, or both. You can't find anything else in the Scriptures that goes contrary to that. Angels just didn't show up and say, "Hey, what are you doing here? I just want to stop by, see how you're doing. How's the kids?" That's not what angels do. They're messengers. They communicate through the consequences and through the words of God. Some of the many examples are as follows. Abraham and Lot, respectively, in Genesis 18 and 19. David in 2 Samuel 24. Joseph in Matthew 1. Zacharias in Luke 1. Cornelius in Acts 10. Herod in Acts 12, etc. They all received a message or a judgment, good or bad, from God or both. And no matter where you go, I challenge you, whenever it mentions an angel, look for a message, look for a judgment, or look for both. You're going to find it. And so, if someone claims that they're seeing angels today, and this is what I ask them. I say, "I'm pretty sure I saw an angel." Okay. Well, you wouldn't know it, but let's test it. What was the message, or what was the judgment from God? And if they don't have one, then it's not following what the Bible says. We got to be careful not to take liberties that we don't have. And all of us can be guilty of that. I can be guilty of it as well. That's why I started out with the hermeneutic. I want you to be able to come up to me if I deviated from the hermeneutic at all, the standard of interpretation that we had from the beginning. You should be able to roll up on me with your nostrils all flare and say, "Brother, you didn't follow your own words." Because I want to be held accountable to that. Because I'm asking you also to do the same. So, question. What are the known roles for angels in the Christian's life today? That's really what it boils down to. That's what's most important. This is where the application comes in. The answer is, angels are deeply involved in the salvation of the people of God. Deeply involved. Let me read you some verses. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and rescues them. That's an incredible verse. Matthew 18 verse 10. "See to it that no one despises one of these little ones. For I say to you that their angels in heaven continually behold my face of my Father who is in heaven." Luke 15:10, "The same way I tell you, there is joy in the presence of angels over one sinner who repents." Luke 2:14, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men for whom He is pleased." Luke 16:22, "Now it came about the poor man died and he was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom." Matthew 26:53, "Or do you not know I can appeal to my Father, and He will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels?" I know you sang a song this morning. I was singing it too. He could have called 10,000 angels. Was it just words, or did you actually imagine? You saw what one angel did, killed 185,000 Assyrians. You don't think 10,000 angels could have wiped out the Roman Empire in 1 millisecond? could have just boom, and they all would have, one angel could have done that because they're empowered by God. But angels are there, so they're tools in God's hands to help us come to heaven, to be in heaven on that glorious day. It's not just God up there. God has an entire support staff that He created. Angels are created so that you get to heaven. You're part of the expansion program.
Yes, sir.
And that's great. There's room for you. There's room for me. And all that be afar off, as many as the Lord God shall call. That's what it boils down to. And it's not just saved from this crooked and perverse generation. But think about all the times you were driving down the road. And you're saying, you ever have that? You know, I drive down to Abilene and back. I mean, that's like all the deer and all the armadillos and all the different things you could have hit and the other drivers that could have swerved.
Yes, sir.
Do you not think maybe when you can't even remember a single car you went by of the tens of thousands, Doug, that you went by? Why didn't any hit you? I'd like to think that maybe God might have used some angels to help me along the way. Hebrews 1:14, are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who love Him? If you love Him, angels are there. They're there for you. And I think we're going to be really, really surprised when we get to heaven. Now maybe I'm overlooking something. Maybe you're going to come up to me and you're going to say, blasphemy! I never learned that in my Why Am I a Member of the Church of Christ book. That never talked about that. Well, I think we're going to be really surprised if the scripture is true, and I believe it's true. We're going to get up to heaven. We're going to find out. We were bailed out a billion times. A billion times. And we're going to be that much more thankful to God that if we weren't wound up like a top and sent out in the world, when we were coming to the edge of the table, maybe God used an angel's hand to bump us back on. We have what man has coined as guardian angels, whom God sends to watch over us for the purpose of deliverance from this world. Psalm 91:11, for He will give His angels charge concerning you to guard all your ways. Like I read earlier, Jesus said, see to it you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that their possessive, their angels in heaven. Powerful verses. The devil might be working hard for you to lose your soul, but I can promise you, if Jesus could have called 10,000 angels, if it's going to make a difference for you to go to heaven, you got to trust Him. He can call 10,000 angels for you if that's what's needed. How can we say, how could Paul say in a prison, for I'm confident of this very thing, that He which began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. How can he say, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me? Paul, you might have your head sawed off. Charlie said this morning, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Paul didn't know which way he was going, but he knew it was going to work out. And at the end of his life, he was able to say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me on that day. And not to me only, but to all those who love His appearing. God's using angels for us right now. And you're going to have the proof. If you want me to prove any more than I prove now, then I'm going to write down a date. 1,000,000 years from now. Okay? On that last day, we're going to go to God's library and we're going to prove it. Because we're just going to use what the Bible says. So yes, angels are heavily involved in our salvation. Think of all those times. Think of all those times that you almost died. Think of like that test that you had. And think about all, you know, I don't know about you. But me, I'm comforted in knowing that God has enough staff to get the job done. And they are powerful. And the forces of the devil try to do what they try to do. And I might get worried and I might panic a little bit to be able to say, you know what, God? I'm going to trust you even more because you have the power behind you. Even Michael the archangel said, "The Lord rebuke thee," and Satan had to leave at that point. One angel could cast down the devil. Our God's in control. And that's what's relevant to us. Our God is in control. You know, I saved this part of the announcement. You know, I want to go back to Drew. You all got the email on Drew, right?
Yes, sir.
She's awaiting a treatment, needs to be approved of by the insurance company. Let's pray with confidence this week. Okay, Drew? How about you, Sister Halkman? You need some prayer? Kathy, your aunt needs some prayer. Anybody else need some prayer?
Yes, we all do.
Yeah. You think God can't back it up? Of course he can. And if it comes to a time where we all have to go someday, God's going to use the angels to usher them, usher you into his kingdom. Angels, God already put the commands out there, and he's ready to bring all of us home. He's been delivering us all this time, and we can say with confidence, he will finish the job. He has a powerful army he's assembled. And so, that's what I want to leave you with. So when you think about God, God's the head of the family of God. Christ is the head of the church. If you're tied in with the Son, man, all those angels, why would you even pick the side of a loser? I mean, the devil's angels are locked up right now. They got the shackles on. They're bound.
Yes, sir.
Our God is not bound. Let God's word be true and every man a liar. Think about those words while we stand.